This is Out and About on WCBU, Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin. This week we're talking with George Stoluto from the Peoria Symphony Orchestra. They're closing this season with a concert tomorrow night at Grace Presbyterian Church in Peoria. George, welcome back.
Thanks, Nate. It's great to be here.
Now, the soloist for this concert is soprano Cara Shea Thompson, and I know that she performed with the PSO last season. I'm just curious to know, I know that you bring in a lot of soloists over the course of a year to work with the orchestra. How do you decide when you're working with one of those that this is someone you want to bring back next season or a few seasons down the road? What are you looking for musically or otherwise?
At the beginning, you hear them somewhere else and you immediately get a sense of whether or not you'd like to work with them. And then once you work with them for the first time, there's either an ease about it and something that makes sense, or a kind of connection that you can have artistically, personally. And then after that, you kind of look at repertoire and what works for different guest artists. And so if it's somebody that you've worked with, a piece you love, and a situation where you understand the kind of artistic values of the soloist that you might work with, that's why you would bring somebody back that you want to be comfortable with, especially for an important piece of music.
And is that how it worked in this case? Because I know that last season she sang The Daughter of the Regiment with you, which is different from what she's doing in this concert. Did the two of you communicate and she said, you know, I would really love to do some Mozart?
Well, I asked her initially for the Mahler, and then we picked together what she would do on the first half. And I had suggested a few pieces, and she liked some of them and said, well, how about this one instead? Kind of fits my voice better. So it's more of a collaboration at that point, outside the big piece. So, yes, in this case, it was the fact that, oh, I'd really love to have her come back and do the Mahler. And then what else do you want to do?
Well, you're starting the concert off with the Don Giovanni Overture by Mozart, which is a great opera. I mean, it's this wonderful sort of morality tale about this carousing kind of rogue who gets his comeuppance. And it's wonderfully dramatic, but it's also very tuneful. It has some wonderful melodies, and the overture is just a marvelous piece with all that drama, but there's a lightness to it as well.
It's an opera that kind of is a great beginning for this concert, because the Mahler is a little bittersweet. It's kind of about innocence and a child's view of heaven, and Don Giovanni doesn't get into heaven because he can't let go of his adult ego and sinfulness, so to speak. I guess that's the allegory there. And he eventually just gets thrown down into the fire. And on the other side of that concert, you have Mahler looking at kind of innocence and its importance in our lives, and a kind of wonder that people can have with the world that they live in, and that mostly comes from children. And yet he kind of beckons us to return to that in a way.
You've made an interesting observation about the Mahler piece, the Symphony Number 4, which is that it's fully grounded in the classical style and the classical structure, but it's a completely romantic work in and of itself. And then on a third level, it also kind of looks forward musically. Can you talk a little bit about that?
You know, this is an interesting symphony because we don't have a lot of material on Mahler's compositional process, but the Mahler Symphony No. 4 we actually do. And I attended a presentation 2 years ago on this symphony where a gentleman had gone in and looked at the manuscripts and looked at everything, all the materials that Mahler had left that he didn't destroy, which he had done for other symphonies. And pretty much what happens is Mahler will compose a part of the work, and then he'll compose another part of the work and a third part. And once he gets done with all the ideas that he wants to incorporate, he'll kind of piece these together in different ways, almost like a puzzle, trying to find out what's the best combination for the structure of the work. Similar to, say, a movie director splicing scene after scene and understanding how the plot's supposed to work and maybe having flashbacks and things like that. So that's a really interesting part of it. And that, in a sense, I think is where Mahler's looking for, because his music is very cinematic. It's a very much like a story, but a very sophisticated story. The style for this particular symphony is very tuneful. I think, personally, that it's got aspects of Dvorak and other romantic composers in it, but it's still got that unmistakable Mahler sound to it. But it's a more congenial work in many ways. It's much easier to grasp. Many people call it the most understandable of Mahler's works, but I think that's a little bit of a deception because it's kind of like a fairy tale that has a deeper lesson to it. And so that's why I think this is such a great symphony.
Now, you had said that this is interesting among Mahler symphonies because there are all these earlier drafts. So is it possible to go back through those and sort of see how he constructed it, see the directions that he chose not to go in? And
you can actually see that in some of the manuscripts and things like that. And I think he did that for other works, but he tended to get rid of that material after he had kind of arrived on his final decision, although he did revise the first symphony in many ways. But this one, all that stuff survived.
And knowing that, does that inform how you perform the piece with the orchestra? Or is that interesting material that's perhaps off to the side as you and the orchestra go through the performance and rehearsal process?
I think it helps from the standpoint of knowing that that's the way his mind worked, so that you know that this is not just an arbitrary decision to work. I'm going to write a piece in a certain structure, in a certain form, and therefore I'll try to fit everything in. He really came up with the ideas first and then tried to find the right structure and form for the expression of the overall message that he's trying to give artistically with this piece. And I think that's helpful to know that he had that on his mind. You can kind of trust the narrative, so to speak, and follow it along because he really went through a lot to arrive at it. Almost like a Shakespeare play.
Now, this is the final symphony that Mahler himself conducted, but there are additional Mahler symphonies, the 5th and the 6th, all the way to the 10th. Were those other symphonies already written? They just hadn't had their initial performances yet?
Oh, no. Well, all those symphonies had been written and performed, except the 10th, of course. But this happened to be on a program that was with the New York Philharmonic when he was music director of the New York Philharmonic, and it was in 1911, and it was I can't remember the date exactly, but it was a regular subscription concert, and he just was planning on doing the 4th Symphony again, and he got sick shortly afterward and went back to Europe and finally died. So it was the final work of his own that he conducted. He had conducted all the other later symphonies, but this was the last one of his own pieces that he conducted.
Getting back to the soloist, Kara Shay Thompson, you've brought her in to do some concert arias. There's a Beethoven piece, at least one Mozart. Can you talk a little bit about some of those?
They kind of fit in a little bit with the plan of the program. It's about kind of emotion the first half is a little more of an adult theme in the sense that you've got in Beethoven's A Perfido, you have a woman who's been scorned and she's going through all of the emotional, broils that you can have in that kind of situation. And then the Mozart aria is about a woman who's celebrating her lover who's returned from battle and has been returned from after worrying about all of this stuff. And so, the first half is full of maybe a little bit of the farce that adult life can be. And the second half is a kind of look at the wisdom that a childlike view of the world can offer. And, I think Mahler invites us to kind of adopt that so that that all the wonder of the world is still there, but we've kind of lost our way because we want to hold on to emotions. We want to hold on to our anger or our fears or in the case of Don Giovanni, our way of life. And so it's an interesting kind of – it's a paradoxical concert in a way, which I think is really kind of fun.
It sounds like the first half has a lot of a drama to it, a lot of emotion and a lot of passion. And then the second half is a little more cathartic, perhaps?
I don't know if I would call it cathartic. It literally is childlike. The first movement of the Mahler is beautiful. It's very friendly sounding. There's a lovely middle section that sounds really dark and sinister, and then it suddenly stops. And then the first melody comes back as if it's kind of a joke. It's like kind of waking up and going, oh, that was all just a dream. And that's really lovely. That's such a wonderful effect that he does with that. The second movement is kind of, it's a scherzo, but it's a kind of tale told to us by, you know, almost like an odd figure, a troll or, something like that, that kind of figure, because it's in 3/4. It has a kind of waltz feel to it, but there's this out of tune violin that has these solos. So our concertmaster, Marcia Henry Liebenau, is actually going to be playing two violins on that concert, one that's tuned normally and one that's tuned differently than the normal tuning of a violin. And Mahler actually writes in the score, this is supposed to sound like a cheap fiddle and not a refined instrument. And so it's supposed to have this kind of odd quality. And I can really see in this score things that film score composers like Danny Elfman picked up on. And the third movement is wonderfully reflective and very heavenly and almost prayerful, but in a, you know, in an innocent way. And then we end with this great lullaby from Das Knaben Wunderhorn, that where Karasche will join the orchestra again at the end of the symphony.
And looking ahead to next season, you've already announced your concerts for the coming year, including a visit from Bela Fleck next spring. But as you look at the next season, are there any highlights that you wanted to call attention to or that you're looking forward to?
Well, certainly Bela Fleck is going to be one of the highlights of the season. He's one of two world artists we have coming next year. One is the other one is Olga Kern, the famous pianist who won the Van Cliburn competition about 10 years ago. And so we're excited about that. She'll be opening the season. Bela will join us in April. I think the programming this coming season is really special. It's very similar in one way to this season in the sense that it's another season that's going to be really appealing to connoisseurs of classical music, but also very alluring to people that want to try out classical music for the first time. And I think it's the kind of season that is going to appeal to both audiences and audiences of various ages and backgrounds. I'm really happy to announce that Bela will be also performing on the children's concerts when he's in town, which is a first for world artists in Peoria. And we've got a wonderful violinist named Charles Yang, who's coming. The Boston Globe says plays the violin with the charisma of a rock star, and he pretty much is a rock star. And the Four Seasons by Vivaldi is going to be a great concert. So it's a season that's just full of there's something for everybody, and everybody's going to want all of it. So that's my opinion.
We've been talking with George DeLuto, the music director of the Peoria Symphony Orchestra. Their concert is tomorrow night at 8 at Grace Presbyterian Church in Peoria. George, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio by going to our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.